I want you to go to the book of Ecclesiastes tonight. What you do, go to Proverbs and take a right. Ecclesiastes. My scholar says it like this. Ecclesiastes or the preacher. Ecclesiastes or the preacher. How many's never heard a series on Ecclesiastes? I'm going to be honest. You have it in this church because I've never preached one. And very few men have preached a series on Ecclesiastes. And there's a lot of commentaries. They leave Ecclesiastes out. But actually, Ecclesiastes is exactly where most folks live today. Amen. And I'm going to introduce it tonight, and I'll read three verses tonight. I don't think I could get beyond three. I have a lot of preaching to do tonight. Stand with me with your Bibles open to Ecclesiastes 1 and verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, the words of the preacher. Now, that necessarily does not tell you who it is, but I think you'll see who it is in a moment. The son of David, king in Jerusalem. And look how he starts this book out. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Our Father, help me preach like I've never preached before. Because probably all of us, before we get through this book, will say we're guilty, as Solomon is guilty, of living most of our life under the sun. Help us tonight to find out what real worth is. Help us tonight to find out what real wealth is. Help us to know that Jesus Christ is the only one that can fulfill our life and sustain our life and supply our life and supersede in our life. I pray tonight you'll help us in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. It is my belief that Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. He calls himself the preacher. We'll explain to you what that word means in a little while. The son of David, king in Jerusalem. Now Solomon actually wrote three books. This book, I believe, was written at the end of his life. When he's almost finished, when he was almost done, I personally believe that this book was written about his folly and his ignorance and his disobedience, and living a life outside of God. He wrote the book of Proverbs, a great book. I believe when he was young, he came to them as a wise teacher. And I read one chapter of Proverbs every day of my life. That way I'll read it all through once a month, because it brings wisdom. It helps me guide you as a pastor. It gives me the right kind of knowledge, but wisdom, which is the application of knowledge. Then he wrote the Song of Solomon when he was very young, and not only as a wise teacher, but the Song of Solomon was as a royal lover. He really gives a picture of the church of the living God. If you study the Song of Solomon, the church is pictured there a lot, and you can see typology about the church. But this book, Ecclesiastes, has a far different view than the book of Proverbs and the book of the Song of Solomon. I am not going to lie to you. It's going to take some time for me to get through this, okay? I'm not going to rush it. I know the first chapter I'm going to go verse by verse, so it'll take about 3 or 4 sermons. I don't know how I'll do after that, but I want y'all to know something. It'll take me a little time, but I'm going to tell you how you need to study the Bible. Line upon line and precept on precept. Here a little and there a little. I'm going to do a pure exposition. But I'm not going to do an exposition without application, because this whole book is full of application. And I don't know if you believe this, but I believe the whole Bible is inspired. I believe in the plenary inspiration of the scripture. The verbal inspiration. I believe every jot and every tittle and every word, not just thoughts and not just phrases, every word is inspired of God. Amen. Now, I want y'all to know something. Anybody read this book this week like I asked you to? Well, if you're a little God, yes. I want all y'all to know something. Some of the thoughts that Solomon gives in this book doesn't seem real godlike. Yet they are inspired. Because God wants all of us to see what life without Him is all about. And I want you to know, He summed it up. It's all vanity and vexation of the spirit. Anything that's outside of God is vanity. And how many people you know that live their life mostly outside of God? Their decisions are outside of God. Their homes are outside of God. Their children are outside of God. Amen. Hey, and that is why God said, I want Solomon, you to write it. Oh, Lord God. The theme, the prevailing theme, you might want to note this in your Bible, is under the sun. If you read your Bible and you count it properly, you found out under the sun was mentioned 29 times in 27 verses. 29 times. See, Solomon's mindset takes place under the sun. See, God is above the sun. If we're going to ever have a fruitful life, we need to rise up and we need to live for Him who is above the sun. Let Him take us to new heights. Now, Solomon's perspective is this. It's a human perspective. And don't you fault Him too much, because much of our way of looking at things are human. We look at most things by human. His perspective was physical. His perspective was on the temporary. Why is it that most of us spend most of our money and most of our time on the temporary?
Come on, preacher,
amen. Am I helping you yet? His perspective was on the worldly. And I'm going to say this without apology. Our churches, by most part, have got so worldly. We're more like a world than we've ever been. I tell you what I done today. I wouldn't allow that TV to be brought on today. I didn't watch none of it. Didn't want to have no part of it. I ain't getting involved in all that worldly junk. I wouldn't come into church today bogged down with some junk in my mind, because, be honest with you, we are all too worldly. I'll tell you what his perspective was. Boy, let's just tell it. Come on, let's really tell it. The here and now. That's what most of us are caught up with. The here and now. Not what's yonder. Not what's in heaven. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're proof. Hey, we do everything we can to live forever. But I want you to know you ain't going to live forever. If you're 70 years old, I'm just about there. You're around the third base. You're on your way home. And I'll tell you, we ought to be wanting to have something over yonder to look for more than we have here. We ought to think about eternity instead of always thinking about the earthly. What he's really doing is, he said, I am going to search through life without God. I want to give you a nugget here. Listen to this carefully. The word God found in Ecclesiastes is the word Elohim, or talking about the self-existence of God. I want all y'all to know, Solomon believed in the existence of God. But he never one time used the word Jehovah for Lord. Because see, the Lord wasn't Lord over his life. He wasn't concerned about a relationship with God. He was concerned about the earthly, the here and now, the temporary. And how many of us tonight could say, I'm guilty. I've invested most of my life and most of my toil in this world. I'm prepared for retirement, and that's nothing wrong with it. I'm prepared for this, and I'm prepared for that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all we do, and we're not looking out beyond this world. Now, let me give you a theme of the first three verses. Y'all with me? He said, is life really worth living? You know what he was saying life was like? Now, I want you to know, I'm going to tell y'all a little secret about me that I hate. I really hate going to the gym. And I got scripture for that. Exercise profiteth little. But now you know what he's picturing life as? He is picturing life as a treadmill. You're on a treadmill and you're always moving, but you ain't never getting nowhere. Always moving, but not getting anywhere. So that's it. That's his picture of life. He said, I'm moving. I did all this stuff, but I ain't never got anywhere. And how many people do we know that life's almost burnt out? They messed up in their decisions. They put all their apples in the wrong basket, and they're saying right now, oh, it's vanity and vexation of the spirit. My Lord. See, when we get through this chapter, I'm going to tell you what his treadmill consisted of. He walked through wine. He was a drinker. I might as well hit it. There's too many folks that even calls themselves Christians are drinkers. Social drinkers. Wine bibbers. They're living life under the sun, trying to find pleasure in alcohol when the Bible said wine is a mocker. And strong drink is raging. And you know, I know what you call me. You're just an old, out-of-date preacher. You're so out-of-date. Don't you know that the new generation, they all social drink. I don't give a flip if all of you drink. It's still wrong. And you're living life under the sun. Good preaching, Reverend. Not only did he walk through wine, he walked through women. Had 700 wives. Don't say, help me, Lord. Help them, Lord. That means 700 mother-in-laws. He had 300 concubines. He was a womanizer. Well, let's just tell it like it is. Everything you see on TV points to sex, sex, sex. And I'm so sick right now. There ain't hardly a TV program worth watching. I mean, they're all promoting homosexuality. Come on now, help me preach. You cannot turn on an evening program and find what some of them, or most of them, push homosexuality. The shows I used to watch, I don't watch them anymore. Because they got people in there that's playing a lesbian or playing a homosexual. You said, Preacher Smith, that's just life. No, 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 no. That's not life above the sun. He walked through wine. He walked through women. I'll tell you what else he done. Do you know what he done? Man, I am bogging down, Ted. You know what he done? He brought comedians in. He brought comedians in to make him laugh. He said, I gave myself to laughter and all his vanity. You know what world, you know what our life has become? A big joke, a big laugh. We laugh at people that ruins their life and messes their life up and take it as a big joke. It ain't a joke when somebody destroys their life in sin. Amen. Amen, preacher. Just not a joke. And you may think you can get somebody to pet you and tell you laughter and make you laugh. And I'm going to just say this. There's too many Christians that like to hang around smut themselves. Hang around people that have off-collar jokes. It's good preaching, Reverend. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to be around it. It isn't Christ-like. Man. And I'll tell you what else he... Walk through wealth. Yeah. Amen. Richest man in the world. See, under the sun means you're going through the motions. Under the sun is that you have all those things, but you have no satisfaction. I started to text I use this as a text, and I won't do it. But in the 60s, we used to hear that song, I can't get no satisfaction. And I'll be honest with you, people try everything today, and they try everything today to be satisfied. They think they can go on this trip and go to that trip and go to this nation and go down here and go down there and go down here. And I'll be all right. But by the way, all they got when they get back is a full credit card. And it ain't none of it satisfies you. Because you've got to keep doing it. See, let me give you what his name means. I thought I was going to get along through this introduction. His name means, Lois, did you know his name means peaceable? And he died troubled. You know what God wants all of us? He wants us to be peaceful. He wants us to be enjoying life. He wants us to be satisfied. But Solomon ended his life like Naomi. He was miserable and bitter. Because life actually didn't pay off for him. And I want to tell you what. I worry that I'm preaching to people who have this notion, is life worth living? Because there is no fulfillment under the sun. Amen. You know what Jesus said though? I came you might have life and it more abundant. I want all y'all to know something. I choose that. I'm going to tell you what, I got eternal life right now, but I've got abundant life. I'm trying not to get into a lot of illustrations because I'm not getting into all the text yet. My nephew, who y'all know, some of y'all went to his funeral, got killed over there in St. Albans, got run over and died immediately. When he was a young man just in college, he had a college class that he had to write a paper on the happiest person that he knew. And he wrote the paper about me. He said, "My Uncle John is the happiest person I know." And at that time, John didn't have much of anything. But I want y'all to know what I have. I've got life. Amen. And I've got abundant life. And I want you to know, I have found out in my own life, things just doesn't satisfy me. I want you to know, there ain't nothing that'll satisfy you like a relationship with God and a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know, a lot of us are going to get to the end of life and say, "Oh, it's vanity and vexation of the spirit." Now, let me give you three thoughts, and by way of introduction. Whew. First of all, I want you to notice this. Notice verse 1, the words of the preacher. I want to title first point, the preacher at large. Now, the word preacher here is the Hebrew word koholax. And here's what it means. It means a caller, a congregator, a gatherer. By the way, the word ecclesia, where we get the word church, same word. A called out assembly, a caller, a gatherer. And what Solomon's doing, he was gathering people together to show them the futility of living life without God. First of all, he showed diverse exposure. He was the wisest man in the world. Yet his life ended up in folly. He was the wealthiest man in the world. He had everything you'd ever want. When the Queen of Sheba came to see him, she said, "The half has never been told." As I said a little earlier, he had wives. He had 700 of them, 300 concubines. Yet despite all of that, he said, "All was vanity and vexation of the spirit." His distress for emotion. You know what he done? He used this word throughout his writings. "I set myself." You know what he meant by that? "I'm chasing after this. I'm chasing after it." He was always chasing after something. He chased after wine. He chased after women. He chased after what? He said, "I'm chasing after it. I'm set after it. That's my desire. Everything under the sun is my desire." But then he found out, he said, "But none of it satisfies me." Lord. His discerning experience. He's really just trying to tell us the futility. And I like to see some people wake up to the thought that you cannot find fulfillment in this world. And actually, Christian, this world is not our home. Secondly, I want you to notice this. Look in verse 2. This is the introductory message. "Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher." Vanity, vanity is always vanity. The proclamation at length, he proclaims now something at length. And what is vanity anyway? Write this down. Vanity is futility. Vanity is like a vapor that vanishes. You know, Pastor Chad, he jokes all the time. His favorite thing to do, he says, is to go home I was going to ask his wife if he really does this and have a bubble bath. Does he actually do that? Dear God. And I bet, here's what a bubble bath is. You get in that bath and then bubbles will come up and you just hit them and they're gone. You know what Solomon's saying? That's what vanity is. It's a bubble that bursts and it's gone. It's a vapor that's here, then it's gone. God have mercy. What a terrible way to live life. See, he lived for materialism. And by the way, when materialism becomes your boss, the love of money, the Bible said, is the root of all evil. I want you to know something. Job said this, I've esteemed thy word above my necessary food. See, I believe the nuggets of Scripture are timeless. But I believe the nuggets of this world are temporary. Then lastly, and I'll finish. I believe I'll be able to. Look at verse 3. The pointlessness of life. I want you to notice some things. Look at verse 3. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? Notice the word labor there. It's mentioned 23 times in Ecclesiastes. There are actually 11 words in the Hebrew and Greek that depict labor. But the one that's mentioned 23 times is only one, the same one. And here's what it means. To toil to the point of exhaustion with little fulfillment. Here's what Haggai said about labor. He said, what most folks do, they put their stuff in bags that have holes in them. Oh, I've had people come up to me and say this, preacher, I know I need to read the Bible, but I'm just working too much. And I wonder if all y'all have read your four chapters a day since the first of the year. Preacher, I don't have much money to tithe because I spend too much. Preacher, I don't know have time to sow in because I'm working too much overtime. Preacher, I wish I could get back to ministry, but my schedule is bogged down. I had a preacher friend. I loved him. He had a problem. He loved playing golf too much. He spent every day of his life on the golf course. Every day, almost every day. He was so good he made the amateur. He made the West Virginia amateur. That's how good he was. But he played every day. I never forget the day I was down at Charleston General Hospital visiting some of our folks. And I was sitting in the lobby of the intensive care and union, here comes a lady. And she said, would you come in and pray for my husband? I recognized her. And then she told me the church, and sure enough, I said, sure, certainly. And I went in, and he was this close to dying. And I think he did die the next day. And I said, has Pastor been by? He hadn't been in there for about a week. No, he ain't been by now. Well, I want to be honest with you. I just about got in the flesh. You know what I done? I called the golf course, and I knew the one he played. And I said, it's such and such here. And they said, yeah, he's out on the golf course. I said, please get him to the phone. And they went out and got him. I said, it's an emergency. He said, what kind of emergency? I said, I'll tell him. I said, sir, you're a God called preacher, and I don't have much business in it, but you got a man dying. And I just had prayer, and it's kind of bad for me to have to be his pastor when you're his pastor. You want to know why most preachers don't have enough substance in their sermon? Because they don't spend enough time in the Word of God because they're too busy doing something else. God didn't call me into Amway. God did not call me into some other secular thing. God did not call me into professional golf. You do know that, and you ain't called there either. No, God called me into the ministry. I want you to know what your pastor, he's 69 years old. He keeps office hours still today. He works every day of his life. I work as much as my staff does, sometimes more than they do. And you know why? Because I believe in being in a spot where my members can get a hold of me. And the most frustrating thing I'm going through right now is I can't be where they are because of this mess we're in. God help us. In verse 3, I see a poor return. I got to hurry. He said, what profit? That word is mentioned 10 times. And what the word profit means is leftover or surplus. He was the richest man on the earth, but he said, I don't have any surplus. See, the problem is with stuff, is how you use stuff. It used to be we use things and we love people. Now we love things and we use people. I tell you what, I'm going to just be honest with you. This preacher can't be bought by your money. I can't be bought by you. And by the way, I'll have friends and you can be my friend. But if our friendship ever becomes that you are going to try to tell me how to pastor a church, then something's going to give up. I don't allow it. I've lost friends here. You know when I lost them? I lost them when I would not let their carnality run my church. I ain't going to do it. You said, I bet you live a lonely life. It is lonely once in a while, but I want to tell you what, I do have Jesus. Then I want you to notice, I'm last and I'm finished. His pitiful realm under the sun. See, Jesus didn't condemn money, what you wear. Now he was condemning the realm. See, my Bible said lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt. I want to ask you, this is just introduction. Do you see where it come from? Did I preach the Bible line upon line? This guy is coming to you at the end of his life who had it all and said it's all vanity. Had everything. And he said when he died, it's all vanity. It's all. Ain't none of it. I don't have any surplus. I want to ask you something. Have you spent your life living under the sun? Have you spent your life chasing after stuff? I asked you. Let God take you to a place that's above the sun. Take you to a place in heavenly places. And let me say this to you. I struggle with this. Because see, I'm living down here. And I struggle with everything I preach tonight. And I realize if I don't depend on Christ, one of these days, everything I've got is going to collapse. And here was Solomon. Look at him, Jeff. Here's the finish line. He was there. And here's these words. All is vanity and vexation of the spirit. It ain't worth nothing. Amen. What shall profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you're here tonight lost without Christ and you've not trusted him, hey, life is nothing without him tonight.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Will you bow your head with me? How many of you tonight would say, Preacher Smith, God spoke to me tonight. I want you to pray for me. God spoke to me. Thank you. Wonder how many right now say, Preacher Smith, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I've been living my life without God. I'm lost, preacher. I don't know Christ. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, won't you slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I want to be saved before I die and go to hell. Just slip it up, will you? Slip it up. If you're not sure you're saved. How many of you says, preacher, I know I'm saved, but I have got away from God and I've been living by my own choices and I want you to pray for me. Slip your hand up. I see that hand. Others? Preacher, I'm reaping what I've sown and it scares me. Pray for me. Yes. Stand with me. If God spoke to you, will you come on forward? Father, thank you for this little passage of scripture. I hope it helps somebody. Lord, that we get a new perspective. What a powerful passage. Now help folks to come forward tonight and pray and realize there's more to life than things and stuff. In Jesus' name, amen.